You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for February 24th, 2017. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the empty auditorium where Congressman Rodney Davis's town hall would have been if he had an ounce of guts, it's The Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
Hey, Driftglass.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going good. Rodney Davis, our congressman from the Illinois 13th District, is not the only one avoiding town halls this week.
No, many are.
Including the Speaker of the House, who's down in Texas on a horse taking a look at the border, you know, the border between Mexico and the United States for a fundraiser.
Well, and so is the world's stupidest man, the Congress's stupidest human being, Louie Gohmert. And we'll get to that in a moment. But I'd like to announce more exciting news. Basically, suck it, Pod Save America, because we have a new sponsor. In addition to MacGuffin's Muffins, which you're all familiar with and you buy frequently, and Dukakis Khakis, the sensible men's pants for senseless times, although they're not so good for running in. Our new sponsor is Croc Blockers. The Bad Fashion Choice Alert System from Cornfield Enterprises. Croc Blockers. Hey, man, don't wear those shoes.
You know, having your Croc Blocker on while you're wearing your Dukakis khakis and eating MacGuffin's Muffins.
Boom.
That is the Cornfield Resistance trifecta right there.
Magnet. And you got to wear a pussy hat with that. But we haven't found a way to monetize that yet.
Thank you, darling.
So, yes. So,
well,
yeah.
And I want to make sure that everyone knows that our podcast today is 100% DNC chairman controversy free.
Yes.
Because we don't care.
We really don't care.
Who is the chairman of the Democratic Party? We don't care.
I care about this, what I have termed the worst show on Netflix, Run DNC, the worst series on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't want it to go into a second season.
Seriously.
You know, it's like,
why are they dragging this out in public? I don't get it.
This feels like True Detective season 2. Just, why are you doing this? This is so dumb and bad. Why are you doing this?
Well,
fuck you, vote already.
As I said on Twitter this morning, this is for people, a certain type of person with certain chromosomes,
yes.
who want to whip out their sex organ on the table and measure it.
Yeah.
This is a
ladies,
proxy
ladies
war.
Often do that.
No.
Ladies
this
often
is,
do
no,
that.
No, they don't.
Yes.
This
they
is a
don't.
Proxy war for a bunch of guys
yes.
who want to make a statement about the primary season.
Right, which
and
is over.
In the meantime, the pussy hats are going to make policy.
Right.
Are going to defend the weak, stand up for the four freedoms, go full Roosevelt on their asses.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's going to be, that is where the heart and soul of the Democratic Party is.
Yeah,
and
is.
The DNC chair is our, and when I say our, I'm talking about the pussy hats, and I'm not just talking about women, I'm talking about everybody that's on the streets and in the town halls and active. The activists, the DNC chair has to follow the activists.
Right. That's really simple.
He, and I, it's going to be a he this time because apparently we haven't learned the lesson that what we really need to make sure of is that the DNC chair is not a sitting congressperson. And we've expanded that because Debbie Wasserman Schultz failed. Mm. We've decided women can't do it this time either, which is fine because, like I said, women can be out there. Who runs the world? Girls, right? Okay.
Uh-huh.
But it's going to be a guy, and that guy is going to be our fundraiser, our publicist, and our accountant.
Right. That's all we need.
And beyond that, the DNC chair is going to follow us and do what we need that person to do or be irrelevant. It's that there's a choice. He can either give the resource, come up with the resources and give the resources in 50 states where they need to be and take back and use our energy to take back the House, or he can fail at that.
Right.
And if he fails at that, he's irrelevant to us. So,
right.
And I understand that what I just said is part of the conversation that they're having as they choose the DNC chair. But at this point,
At this, there 700th DNC debate.
To make
debate,
it a soap opera drama is bullshit.
Right.
And it needs to stop.
I don't understand it. I just don't. But that's just
me. And you're talking to two Cook County Democrats here. You're talking to people who are yellow dog Democrats. I vote Democratic.
Right.
All the time. Since my mother's womb, I have voted Democratic. So.
And if you want to get fussy about outreach and. Mm-hmm. And subsecting the electorate and who to talk to about what and how to use language, we can help you with that.
Yeah.
We can teach you how to talk like people.
Mm-hmm.
And we can teach you who to pay attention to and who not to pay attention
right.
to.
Right.
But as far as who is managing the store on a day-to-day basis,
right.
just don't. Be dipping in the till and pissing the customers off. That's really all we're asking.
And don't spend all your time talking to Chris Matthews.
You know, Chris,
you know,
I think it's
Chris,
so very
I just
important.
Think it's right. No. You're out there, and we get it. It's a dirty, thankless job.
It
You're
is.
Supposed to fundraise and suck up to rich millionaires, you know, millionaires right. who don't want to give you money and make everybody happy when you never will. And it is DNC chair is just a thankless job. I don't know why anybody wants it, but if you want it, I would be, you know, if I was that type of person, and I'm not, but if I was that type of person, I would be, and I was selected, I would be gathering together everyone who ran against me and saying, we've got a job for you too, you know, and everybody
critics,
come on board, bring your Rolodexes, take a region, you know, let's get to work. And this is not about ideology. This is about getting the money in and then spending it where, not just where we think it's going to matter. Don't turn all Rahm Emanuel and do the, you know, limited resources. No, spread it out, raise more, spread it out. 50-state strategy, make them fight everywhere because the energy is there to win big. And
at the first DNC meeting, mm-hmm. you have two doors. One is, do you want to win?
Yep.
And the other one is, doesn't want to win.
Goodbye.
And whichever door you come through, that's what you're going to be involved with.
Right.
If you're still interested in pissing and backbiting and relitigating, mm-hmm. you want to go in the we don't want to win door.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to win and you're still pissed about primaries and whatnot, go through the winning door and then figure out a way so that you can all live together and work together and win some goddamn elections.
And let's all sit down for just 90 minutes and watch LBJ.
Yes.
And watch Lyndon Baines Johnson scream at Hubert Humphrey about you goddamn liberals don't know how to fight.
Right.
And it's time to fight.
Right. This is Lincoln is a metaphor often overused,
mm-hmm.
but we are the base is now Lincoln.
Yeah,
we're the ones who are ready to get out there and win, and we lack generals.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we lack the people who will get whatever they need to get done, get drunk enough, or angry enough, or focused enough, or whatever you need to do to go out there and win. And if you're not interested in winning, if you're interested in being McClellan and having a big shiny pretty army and never using it, then we don't need you. We need you to go home.
Right.
And
I don't mind if he goes on Chris Matthews, and every time he goes on Chris Matthews, he hijacks the conversation to talk about voting rights.
Right.
Fine. If you want to say, look, Republicans steal elections. If you go on every cable news show you go on and say, well, see, Chris, the problem is Republicans steal elections and they do it through voter suppression. And they're doing it in North Carolina. And then you name the five states that you're working on today. Because tomorrow you're going to be working on five different states. But the five states you're working on today are these five states. Mm-hmm. And here, Texas and North Carolina and wherever else we know voter suppression is going on. And say, we're just not going to let Republicans steal elections from the American people this time. And whatever Chris Matthews is hammering on about. No, Chris. The point is, Republicans steal elections.
We're
not going to let them do it anymore.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, so whatever your question is, the answer is going to be Republicans
steal elections.
You know, next week, whatever your question is going to be, the answer, Republicans pollute the air and water and don't give a shit about your kids.
Right. Right.
And the next week is going to be Republicans just took your health care away. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Yep.
And that's really the only end. We're not going to get baited into a horse race. We're not going to get baited into. Well, don't you think if Hillary had parted her hair on a different side?
No.
Or if Bernie had gotten himself.
Bernie would have won. No, fuck you. We're not. We're not going backwards like that.
No. We're not going to.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying the Republicans own the government now.
Yes.
So let's start talking about how they're fucking up. In public, in front of everyone. Hey, you know what, Chris? Let's talk about the cowardice of the Republican Party.
Yep.
Like Rodney Davis, who's hiding out from his constituents right now. Or, you know, let's just jump ahead to Louis Gohmert.
Yep.
Louis Gohmert is not just hiding out from his constituents. He's hiding behind a lady.
He's hiding behind a woman whose brain was damaged by a bullet.
Right.
And who has lost the power of eloquent speech due to having her part of her brain taken out by a bullet.
A right-wing nut job.
He has to hide behind her.
He's hiding behind Gabby Giffords because you know how those lefties are and how angry and violent they are. And you saw what happened to Gabby Giffords when she went out in public.
He didn't just say that he could walk it back. He wrote it in a letter.
Sure.
In writing. That went through how many staff members? Mm-hmm. It's really shows you just how, first of all, not just how stupid he is, but who are his voters?
Texas First.
Yeah.
The Texas First, and he's won. The Texas First was, I believe, created in 2000 by Tom DeLay.
Yeah.
Redrawing the maps in Texas. That
so
was
that
one of
Louis
the,
Gohmert would win.
So, Louis Gohmert would have a district that was full of people stupider than Louis Gohmert.
Right.
Who would look at this absolute, complete, fucking drop dead, you must be kidding me. How did you live past the age of two, moron, and vote for him over and over again?
Yeah.
And he says shit. And it's not like he said this once. He says stupid shit every day.
Mm-hmm.
And his constituents don't give a rat's ass and kind of like it, I suppose. They wouldn't keep voting for this asshole. So Louis Gohmert is your poster boy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Louis Gohmert, like Paul Ryan, hides from his constituents because he's a coward.
Yep. And when you get to be DNC chair, you've got a few interns around.
Yeah.
Make a list of all the Republican congressmen and count how many times they voted against Obamacare.
Right.
And so then you have it in your head. And most of them will be the same amount because, you know, there were only X number of votes, right? 59 votes, whatever it was. Most of them voted party line every time. But make sure you got that exact number so you can say, oh, yeah, Louis Gohmert, he voted against Obamacare. He voted to take away your health insurance 51 times.
Oh, and in addition to that, Louis Gohmert also co-sponsored the bill that made it possible for even more mentally ill people to get their hands on a fucking arsenal.
Last week. Yep.
Now, I know Louis Gohmert is as stupid as a houseplant, but even his memory, even the memory of the dumbest conservative who can't remember that they voted for George Bush twice, must extend, 7 days, 10 days.
Maybe.
The length of time it takes for a fresh loaf of bread to end up among the birds outside. You would think that, no, you just voted to give crazy people, mentally ill people, guns. And then you turn around and say, the reason I can't meet with my constituents is because the late crazy liberals.
The lefties are armed and dangerous.
They're just armed and they'll shoot people. And that's how, look at Gabby Giffords. But of course, the point being that Louis Gohmert is a product of the Republican Party,
Trump, very much
as Donald Trump is a product of the Republican Party. Yep. The Republican Party is a disease at this point. It is a dissociative disorder. I mentioned this before, but it bears repeating, and I wrote a little post on it this week, that there are various dissociative disorders, and I've used what's called Ganser syndrome a few times, which is a syndrome of approximate answers. And this is – you start to notice – I mean you all have probably noticed this years ago that when you ask your conservative friends or family members who many people are like despairing over because they're starting to realize that Pop-Pop is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Pop-Pop isn't just eccentric. Pop-Pop is fucking nuts and has been for a long time. And it's like, okay, now you're over it, right? No. They give you – you can ask them a very straightforward, clear question, and you get these weird, tangential, bullshit, circuitous answers to anything factual.
Oh.
And that is sort of indicative of a mental disorder, of a disease of the mind that won't let them actually answer a simple question with a simple answer because they can't. And they've gotten so used to lying to themselves
right.
and coming up with bullshit, weirdo excuses for why 2 and 2 doesn't equal 4, that their brains just work that way now.
Well, Driftglass, what about Michelle Obama flying to Hawaii with 80 of her friends every 5 weeks?
Happened. It happened all the time. And they bought shoes there. And they, and you know why? And
on the taxpayer dollar, they bought 40 pairs of shoes apiece. Yeah.
Ugly
yeah.
shoes, too. You know why?
It cost $18 million every time Michelle Obama went to Hawaii. And she went all the time.
If the American taxpayer had just spent a little money on croc blockers, Blue Guy, maybe we could have saved a couple of dollars here and there. And this is a bit of a weird segue, but one of the things I wanted to touch on very briefly is...
Could you just touch on the governor of New Hampshire while we're on the topic of guns, please?
Governor Chris Sununu?
Yes.
Yes,
it is a relation to John Sununu.
the obscene issue of awful John Sununu. Just signed a law. Said basically, here's a big pile of guns. Why don't you come have some?
Yep. He said you can do concealed carry, loaded weapon without a permit in New Hampshire.
Without anyone knowing you have it.
Right. And I'm assuming then that you can walk right into the governor's mansion with a loaded gun in your pocket.
Well, you see, there's the line, isn't there, Blue Guy?
No, I guess you're not allowed to do that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can walk into a preschool that way, but not the governor's mansion. Right. Okay.
And that's why my lovely wife suggested that we really, really need the Black Panther Party.
Right.
In New Hampshire.
If I won the lottery, I'd be floating. I'd do shit like that all the time. I'm like, okay, we're gonna hire 17, 6'1" and above, 250 and above Black Panthers.
Right.
To go to New Hampshire and start buying guns with cash.
Right.
Guns and ammo with cash.
With cash.
And we're going to have cameras there.
And we're going to have them in
it. And make sure the local news is there to cover it. And say, thank you, Governor Sununu.
Thank you.
I've always wanted to just be armed and have nobody know that I've got a loaded weapon on me. Now I plan to just live in New Hampshire and carry a loaded weapon with me all the time.
Because in a country like this, I need to be as well armed as the
police. And then we're going to hire some women to wear hijabs.
Right.
And they're going to go buy guns and ammo as well. And not that I expect a Muslim woman would want to necessarily do that. It doesn't matter. We're gonna disguise people.
It's performance art.
It's performance art, folks.
It's designed to make a point.
And no offense to anybody, but we're going to make sure that the people that will make New Hampshire Republicans, and one New Hampshire Republican in particular, the governor,
right,
shit his shorts over the consequences of his bill. And everybody's going to buy their guns with cash. If I have lottery money, I'm going to make sure everybody's got $10,000 in cash on them. Fly into New Hampshire and just start buying guns and ammo. Okay.
Well, you know what? Actually, I wrote a post today. Covering what the obscene thing that Chris Sununu did in New Hampshire.
Yeah, right.
And I said, you know what I'm going to do to pass the time? Because I usually spend my days or afternoons or evenings on the porch, on my middle class, middle America porch in the middle of middle America, waiting.
For the
New York Times zeitgeist van to show up. Because apparently they just interview everybody in the country who lives around me. About how we feel, how our feels are.
They don't ask you that, Driftglass. You're a Sanders Clinton voter, and they don't care.
They have no way of knowing that. I look like a narc. I look one of them. I'm indistinguishable.
You look like a plainclothes policeman. You do.
I'm a head taller, but I can still pass. And so I wait out there every afternoon for the van to show up and for them to leap out and ask me about how I feel about being slighted and subjugated and shat upon by the evil liberals.
Right.
And so I was doing that this afternoon after I was done writing about Chris Sununu and his horrible, horribleness. And I cracked up to prepare for the interview that I'm sure is coming from the New York Times. I decided to see what was in the New York Times today. And it's Nick Kristof.
Oh.
And Nick Kristof is an asshole. Nick Kristof has written probably the, I'm not sure, I haven't been keeping count, 148,000th article about how we shouldn't be so quick to judge those Trump voters. It's entitled, Trump Voters Are Not the Enemy, which I assumed was a parody because, that's stupid, right? But it's not.
Apparently Charles Blow had a thing to say or two about that. Yeah. Not directly at Nick Kristof, but...
Right,
he was on
head.
CNN today and said, no, I am done talking about being nice to Trump voters. Yeah. We're done with that.
Well, he fears that the richly deserved animus, like so many people who live in his tiny bubble, he desperately wants to split Trump away from the Republican Party.
Yes, right.
And Trump away from the voters who voted for him. And pretend that they're two entirely different things, live in two entirely different universes. And, you know, and he fears that the richly deserved animus towards Trump is spilling over onto all of his supporters.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. Now, by all means, stand up to Trump, but let's be careful about blanket judgments. So, okay. So then I sat there in my head on the porch whittling, waiting for the damn van. And I figured, okay, this is how this is going to go. First of all, Christoph will know some guys from college or from where when his car broke down that one time or from his hometown. And now I'm quoting from the article, my hometown, Yamhill, Oregon, a farming community, Trump country. Okay, number two, these guys, they're not bigots. He knows them personally. He knows they're not bigots. And lo and behold, they're not bigots. Mm-hmm. But they didn't know where to turn, and Trump spoke to their fears. It wasn't because they were lizard-brained, bigoted, unthinking lunatics, as it says somewhere in the article. They fell for a silver-tongued provocateur.
Didn't want to vote for a chick.
Yeah.
Or a Clinton, or whatever. Right. And so they threw away their vote on a crazy person. I'm running out of the words. Running out of words for Trump.
They
threw their vote away on Donald Trump. And one of the things that I am so sick of hearing, in addition to paid protesters, or, is this movement really going to take hold, or is it just a flash in the pan? And are they paid? And are they this? And are they? And look. You know, we didn't have any of this questioning when it was the Tea Party.
And the Tea Party was fake.
Well, now look, I am more than willing to accept that some of the people that went to town halls in 2009 were genuinely scared about their Medicare and frustrated about insurance.
Right.
And it was at a time of economic crisis. People didn't have their jobs back.
Yep.
And they felt that big government was going to take something away from them. But they were also extremely misled by Fox News and Glenn Beck.
They were lied to every day.
Mm-hmm. And the result of that was crazy Tea Party rhetoric. Now that does not mean that people shouldn't go to their town halls if they're conservatives and speak their mind to their congressmen. But this was the result of brainwashing by Glenn Beck. That's what the Tea Party was. And well-funded Heritage Foundation and Koch brothers money.
Right.
So
let's not forget that a lot of the issues that these people suddenly felt compelled to run into the streets screaming about, they didn't give a shit about when Bush was doing
right.
it.
Right.
At all. They didn't care at all about any of this stuff.
Yeah, the debt didn't matter.
No, debt, deficit, war, executive overreach, activist judges, all the shit, all the checklists of all the people who were afraid that suddenly their country has become a communist country. Right. And that's the tripwire.
Because, is the hilarity now because everybody loves Putin on the right?
Well, and suddenly they are all independents.
Yes.
And you ask them, and all it really required was for journalists to not be fucking lazy.
Right.
To actually push a little bit hard against, well, wait a minute, you're independent and you just noticed that there's a government in your country and you want to take it back from the guy who just got elected.
And that's because I was asleep and now I'm awake.
I did not notice anything for the last you're 45, 50, 60 years old. How did you not fucking notice? You didn't notice 9/11. You didn't notice the Iraq war. You didn't notice deficits.
Well, we've always been at war.
Yeah.
And that's what Katie Abrams said. We've always been at war.
And
so there has been some kind of conflict. And maybe I'm just not that smart. But
there is a long history of these people being let off the fucking hook.
And then they
suddenly become independents. The blood of the lamb is washed over them. They're no longer responsible for anything they did, for the last 8 years. And they get on with the important business of hating the black guy who's in the White House.
Right. And the only person I know of who actually did hold them accountable was Matt Taibbi.
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
said, now, wait a minute, you're on a Medicare scooter. You're on disability. You have veterans benefits or worse than that, government employee benefits.
Yeah.
Sitting here, you worked for the state of Kentucky in the whatever department.
Oh, you
and
got
now
me.
You're all anti-government? Well, you got me.
You got me. but I don't care because fuck you, I don't care.
I don't have any responsibility for who I was.
But there's
if you're being
lied to by Fox mm-hmm. News yep. to the point where you are hysterical over things that do not exist, mm-hmm. and you don't take the clearly you have television reception
right
in whatever cave you're living in, and you probably have some sort of internet access, and you didn't think that maybe you should check this shit out. You just thought you would develop an entire movement and run screaming into the streets after 8 years of complete somnolence, complete mm-hmm. sleep, based on what Sean Hannity was telling you. And then when it turned out none of it was true, instead of going, oh shit, man, I guess I was wrong, you just dug in and dug in and dug in and turned into a Trump voter.
Well, and or turned into Donald Trump, because right. he is that guy too. Mm-hmm. That is why he is the leader of Fox Nation, is because he's a Fox viewer. And everything, you know what, Driftglass, he's saying what I'm thinking.
That's
no,
right. That's
he's
right.
saying that he's regurgitating the same shit that gets dumped in your skull every day
right.
from Hannity and O'Reilly. That's he's what
saying,
he's getting.
He's saying what Roger Ailes is thinking.
Yeah.
And you're thinking it because you're a moron who listens
because,
to
because
people who lie.
Roger Ailes knows how to do propaganda. Right.
But Nick Kristof says it's a mistake. Oh, yeah. Of course, he has three reasons why it's a bad thing to do. Okay. Bad reason. There's always multiple reasons because you have a word count and
right.
you have to pad it out with
800
things.
Yep.
So, but I won't bore you with them. But it's unfair to lump them all together.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfair mm-hmm. to call them. It's complicated. But liberal fury at the entire mass of Trump voters is unfair. And I couldn't quite hear him over the sound of tens of billions of Republicans calling me a traitor for the last 25 years
mm-hmm.
over every fucking right-wing radio in the country. But I guess radio reception is bad in New York, so maybe Nick Kristof never heard any of that. And the second reason is that tolerance is a liberal virtue.
Yes.
And, you know, we can contribute, we can be passionate, but we don't want to contribute to the political paralysis that risks making our country ungovernable, Blue Guy.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Nick, baby, sweetheart, our country is ungovernable because yep. your fucking homies keep electing assholes who make it ungovernable.
And the thing that makes me so mad is those homies, like you said, they may not be bigots, they may not be racist, no. but they thought they could throw away their vote. And that they sure. didn't have to vote for a Clinton. They didn't have to sully themselves by voting for a chick, by voting for a Clinton. They could just throw away their vote on Trump and it wouldn't matter. And
right.
the thing that makes me so mad is it doesn't matter. We'll just vote him out in 4 years.
Sure.
Because that doesn't help the people who are terrified every single day of being deported.
Right.
That doesn't help the students with autism who will lose their ability to speak, their ability to socialize, because the window is so short
uh-huh.
to get language into these kids. It's 2.5 to 3.5. You got to get them then. You've got to get them talking and socializing. And if there's not funding to do that, that's gone.
Uh-huh.
And that doesn't help any school child who is going to lose resources because of Betsy DeVos.
No.
Doesn't help any of the people who are worried about their health care. This congressman who said, look, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry because whatever we do, it's going to be in 2 years.
Sure.
So,
don't
2 years. Yeah. That means you don't have to worry, you fucker, because your election's coming up and
right.
you're in a gerrymandered district and
exactly.
nobody, you think nobody's going to be paying attention to you because you haven't done anything until you're reelected. But we're watching you. And that hashtag Illinois 13 is watching. It's not just Illinois 13. It's
everybody.
Illinois 13 is watching you, Rodney Davis.
Well,
and the other thing we need to watch,
uh-huh.
by the way, no tax cuts.
Right.
No tax cut. That is the one thing they want. That's why they're tolerating Trump forever. But they want tax cuts. No tax cuts. You don't get to have tax cuts for billionaires, tax cuts for millionaires, anybody over $200,000 a year, no tax cuts. You want tax cuts, you get your president to show us his taxes.
Right.
Then
yeah.
you can start talking reform and all this other bullshit that you and your Goldman Sachs friends want to do to get more money in your pockets. Until he shows his tax returns, no tax cuts. And
no
we
tax
need
cut.
To be as And it's going to be hard to get the energy this high. But mm-hmm. as virulent as we are about health care, we need to be about taxes, about his taxes, because that's where everything is hidden.
Right.
And that's the one thing they want most is if we get our, you know, Bush tax cuts back, then we're all set. Then we can throw Trump away. And you notice how they're turd polishing Mike Pence every day.
Oh, yeah.
As, you know, why can't Trump be more vice presidential was one of the editorials.
He's so shiny. He's a monster.
Yeah.
He's the monster they want. So someone pointed out to me, this is the House Harkonnen.
Yes.
From Dune. Yes, you know, first is. You put the yes, beast in uh-huh. to completely subjugate and break and ruin the population. Then you send the nice son in.
Uh-huh. And everybody goes, oh, thank God.
Oh, we'll go along with our horrible condition because he's nicer than the asshole you put here in the first place.
Yep.
I was worried that perhaps something in the water in Yamhill, Oregon made people really stupid. And then I thought, you know what? You could take it up with the environmental protection.
Oh, wait a minute.
No, because your homies voted to get rid of the EPA, Nick. So how about sucking on that for a while?
Yep.
The upshot of the entire article was very simple. That not everybody's a bigot, not everybody's a homophobe, except here's the thing. They're real comfortable around bigots.
Mm-hmm.
And they're real comfortable voting for homophobes and xenophobes and misogynists. And they're really, really cool with a guy who's a fascist. So maybe they're just asshole adjacent, but I don't know how that lets them off the hook. But the entire gist of the article was, liberals, please don't try to hold voters in a democracy responsible for their vote.
Yeah, really.
And you know what? Fuck you.
Yep.
Fuck you.
You're responsible. You own what you did.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I know your homies got away with it for 8 goddamn years. They voted for Bush twice.
Yep.
They were happy as pigs in shit until it all fell apart. And then they put on their funny hats and pretend they'd never heard of him. And they've gotten used to that sort of treatment from clowns like Nick Kristof. They've gotten used to, the media won't hold us accountable. We're nice middle Americans. We're white people. They're not going to hold us fucking accountable for anything. All we have to do is make a big enough noise and they'll roll over and they'll blame both sides and we go back to being the know-nothing meatheads that we've always been. That's the end of my Nick Kristof hunk. Hope you like
it. Okay. There was a gentleman on today on CNN who had attended Dave Bratt's town hall.
Oh, yeah.
And all of these town hall stories are awesome and make you feel good, except when you realize that then they go back to Washington and they're still running the place. Okay.
Right.
So just remember, that's what depresses me. Driftglass, do we sound too strident in this podcast?
Possibly. I think that's part of my problem.
We're kind of pissed at this point.
I've been told stridency is why I can't get anything, job anywhere, doing anything, putting words together under any reason for any circumstance.
Yeah,
so, hey, you know.
This gentleman who had attended Dave Bratt's town hall pointed out that, just because Dave Bratt wins, he didn't even debate his Democratic opponent last time he was elected in 2016. He didn't even hold a debate and he won with 61% of the vote. It's a gerrymandered Virginia district. But just because he wins big every time, this citizen who went to the town hall, who is one of his constituents, said he seems to think that he has a mandate to govern from the hard right.
Right.
And the fact is that I am still his constituent. I'm an immigrant. I'm a highly technically skilled worker. He works in engineering. And I'm a Democrat in his district and he represents me too. And I thought about that and so much was wrong with that statement about the word governing, like that he somehow has a mandate to govern from the hard right. Dave Bratt has never governed anything.
Right.
He is not governing this country. He's not interested in governing. He doesn't know how to govern. None of these guys know how to govern. And then hard right doesn't exist. That denotion, hard right is whatever Hannity says is going to be for today. Right wing is whatever Drudge and Breitbart and Hannity say is the way we're going to go. And Trump, and now it's Trump.
Right.
But I heard a really fascinating statistic in the past 48 hours. 75% of Republican congressmen were elected while Barack Obama was president. A lot of the class of 2010 is huge, obviously.
Uh-huh.
There's more after that and after that and after that. We had 3 elections since 2010.
Yep.
And, you know, there's all this talk about, oh, Republicans have such a deep bench. It's not a deep bench. It's a bench full of young right-wing ideologue morons,
right,
who don't know how to govern.
Who got elected saying, I will obstruct everything and block everything because freedom.
Right. Because freedom and the Barack Obama's trying to destroy America.
Right.
And, maybe we ought to look for that birth certificate and that Obamacare, you know, and they get elected. And Rodney Davis, our congressman, is one of those who's absolutely a 2010 numbnut, just not very bright. And so, he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. He looks good in a cornfield.
Sure he
but
does.
But he's an idiot.
Yes.
And he does, you know, meetups with women business owners, and he has to be more to the center than Louis Gohmert, because our district has a lot of universities in it, and it is possible to get people mad enough that I really don't know how this election is going to work in 2018, but I have a feeling Rodney Davis is scared because he's not showing up for these town halls. I think he's scared, and
he's scared,
I think he has reason to be. I think he has reason to be.
Yeah, he does.
The only thing that bothers me is that the Democratic Party here doesn't seem to know their ass from their elbow.
No, they don't.
To get a dynamic person to run against him and say, you don't get to take away anybody's health care. Instead, they're going to talk about, well, corn, you know,
but
corn.
You promised, I promised you, Blue Gal, we would never move to Washington, D.C.
So, we're not.
Yeah. So I'm not running for Congress.
No.
I'm sorry.
They'll
I don't care what.
Look at our blogs and they'll realize that we called Antonin Scalia an asshole.
We did, after he died.
We speak ill of the dead.
Well, we don't speak ill of his death. We just point out that he was an asshole his
whole
life.
He was an
life.
Asshole.
And nothing about his transition to the next phase affected his basic existential assholery.
Nope. Can I talk about, I know you want to talk about CPAC and Milo and
forth. You've got a Bible bitch all teed up, I believe.
I have a Bible bitch.
Bible bitch.
That's not scriptural. And the reason I have a Bible bitch is because Melania Trump read the Lord's Prayer during a Florida rally.
Yes, she did.
Florida is has a lot more crazy wingnut conservative Christians than you would think. Tiny little churches out
there. Professional Left Podcast, for the record, Professional Left Podcast has nothing against the Lord's Prayer. Nothing whatsoever against the Lord's Prayer.
Nothing against anyone reading the Lord's Prayer.
No.
Nothing against anyone saying the Lord's Prayer.
Nope.
And I have nothing against Melania Trump saying the Lord's Prayer, even at what is a re-election rally for Donald Trump. I mean, this will never happen again, I pray. I pray that this will never, you know, that this administration will be so cursed that people will realize, oh, no, you never have, like, a re-election rally less than 30 days after you're elected. Don't do that.
Because I have the best brains and the best words.
Best brains, yes. Well, no, because he's a man baby who needs constant reinforcement.
Yes.
When I heard her do that and read the Wonk Ed article, which I do recommend, about Melania Trump reading the Lord's Prayer, and it takes just the right tone in terms of not criticizing prayer, not criticizing anyone who wants to sincerely pray.
Right.
But Donald Trump was mouthing some version of words.
Yeah.
Pretending to say the prayer along with Melania, who was reading it off a piece of paper.
Yes.
And it was so obviously a, you know, stunt. Even the people in the audience who cheered after she did it knew it was a stunt.
I will have to go find the Alec Baldwin as Jack Donaghy hunk from 30 Rock, where he was in church, and he was on his phone trying to cover up his business deal or sports betting under the cowboys are my shepherds. I shall something like that. It's that kind of, I mean, Donald Trump has no interest at all in religion.
Yeah.
Or faith, or God, or any shit that bores him.
Yep.
And all of this stuff bores him mightily.
Right.
So it is just, I mean, and of course, you know, you have Christians conservative Christians thinking that the Lord has moved in this election.
The Lord has picked Donald Trump, and he's a good Christian man. Yeah, right. It's the same thing that they had with Bush.
Yeah.
It's fascistic, nationalist, fake Christianity –
dearly.
That is tribal identity. It's all it is. And it's your tribal identity allows you to be racist against people that are not Christian.
Right. And by virtue of the fact that I voted for him, he must be a great man and good Christian.
Good Christian.
Yeah.
And this is something that my ex brought up continually when he was president of the ACLU of Alabama, which is when civil rights finally took hold in the South, where it was necessary to paint over anti-black racism because anti-black racism was bad for the convention industry.
Right. Money.
And people were not going to be using N-words and not going to be blatantly racist. They might do voter suppression and voter ID all the time and all that kind of stuff, but they wouldn't do flat out anything that would embarrass communities where you might host a convention, because that costs money. Like you say, that costs money. But what replaced that bigotry was this in-your-face Christianity, which was in and of itself bigotry.
Yes.
It's saying, you know, I love Jesus. I just love Jesus. And everyone else who is not of your specific Baptist convention is, well, bless their hearts. You know, they're just out of their, they're out of power. You have to give voice to that as a white politician in the South, that you are a good Baptist, or you're not going to get elected to anything.
Right. Simple.
And African Americans get their seats.
Right.
You know, there are their districts and their seats, and they will stay in the permanent minority. That's true in North Carolina. That's true in Alabama. Mm-hmm. That's true all throughout the South.
Hey.
Is we know that we will have black legislatures representing black voters, and we will district them the hell in the minority every time.
And the
Democrat Party will be the black party. And the Republican Party will be the white party in the South.
And
that's
be,
what it'll be.
Just to be fair, Chicago was every bit as segregated.
Yes. Oh,
for
yeah.
The 40s, 50s, 60s.
Martin Luther King said so. Yeah.
The entire daily one administration was a deeply segregated city. Mm-hmm. There were X number of black aldermen because Daley created them. They supported him unstintingly. The reason that the hotel, I'm sorry, the hospital there is the John Stroger Hospital is because the Stroger family were obedient servants to the Daley family.
Yep.
And they got to run the Cook County Board, which is essentially an appendix of the Daley machine for years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And horrible people were elected to office. And that's why Harold Washington freaked everyone out.
Yes.
Because he was actually part of the machine for a long time. And when he was elected mayor, it's like, okay, now we're going to level things out a little bit.
Yeah,
and that was no.
And when Malcolm X and the Black Panther Party started a breakfast program for children, that was the biggest threat to Daley that you ever saw.
Uh-huh.
Mayor Daley, the old Mayor Daley in the 60s, what freaked out when he heard that the Black Panthers were setting up a preschool, before school breakfast program for black kids.
Exactly.
That's a threat to their power because you are, you know, you're feeding them not just food in the morning and
right.
And if you have them at 7, you'll have them for life, and we don't want that.
And Daley was an old Catholic, and he knew how that worked.
He knows how that works.
Yeah.
So,
well,
yeah.
Can I tell you a terrible secret, Blue Gal?
You can tell me a terrible secret, and then I have to read the Bible.
I was at a couple of those pancake breakfasts.
I'll bet you were.
My parents took me, and we had a wonderful time. And the pancakes were fucking awesome.
I'll bet they were.
You know,
I'll bet they were.
Black Panthers are known for that.
And they didn't discriminate, did they? They really didn't. Nope.
No. Came in, right. Pancakes for kids. Everybody's good. Hit me.
So what came to my mind when I watched Melania Trump reading and struggling through the English of reading the Lord's Prayer was the verse about when thou prayest, go into a closet and shut the door. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. That's Matthew. That's King James Version. Okay. And that's the King James Version is the one that's in my head from childhood. So I was just thinking, okay, that we need to bring up, go into the closet, shut the door, pray in secret. You know, that's the one, right?
That's not really in the Bible, though, right?
It is really in
that's
the Bible.
Jesus didn't say that. Just
yes, he did.
Oh.
According to the Bible, he said that. Matthew 6, but what I had forgotten was that Matthew 6 is the chapter in the Bible where the Lord's Prayer is. I had forgotten that. I'm like, oh, wait. So it's not like you could miss this, you know? Yeah. This is all Jesus' instruction for prayer.
Right.
And so I'm going to read it from the Message, and it's kind of long, but I really love it, so I'm going to read it. And I hope you, if you want to skip over this part, fine, but I really love this. This is Matthew 6 from the Message, which is modern language, and it's this that has headings in it, the way this translation goes. And the first heading is, "The world is not a stage." Now, if there's any heading that is anti-Trumpian, "The world is not a stage," I think, is the anti-Trump. Okay. Chapter 6. Be especially careful. And this is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Be especially careful when you are trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding. When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. You've seen them in action, I'm sure. Play actors, I call them. Treating prayer meeting and street corner alike as a stage. Acting compassionate as long as someone is watching. Playing to the crowds. They get applause, true, but that's all they get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it, quietly and unobtrusively. That is the way your God, who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helps you out. Heading 2 is pray with simplicity. And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and He knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. And I'm going to end it there. But I just love that. I just love that.
Well, and it's about forgiving other people.
Yeah, it goes on and talks about that is the one part of the Lord's Prayer where there's a condition. Forgive us as we forgive.
Right.
Is conditional and forgiving others. And so, I'm willing to forgive a Trump voter who deeply regrets what they've done and wants to work to make it better. Mm-hmm. But we cannot pretend this was a failure for all of us. It was a failure for the media. It was a failure for liberals. It was a failure for voters. It was a failure for Washington. This was a failure. And, I get it that Election Day, the number was 92%. Hillary Clinton has a 92% chance of winning.
Yep.
And everybody just took off and said, there's no way possible.
Right.
For Donald Trump to win. So since I don't want to vote for her, I can just do it. I can just vote for him and be done.
Or vote for whoever.
Stay home.
Write in who I want. It doesn't matter. It's all taken. Again, it's the idea of a herd immunity.
Yeah.
I can do whatever the fuck I want to do because all the responsible people out there will prevent the bad thing from happening.
And the privilege of that is really, we can never do that again. No. And we did it. So I don't forgive myself for my part in that. Uh-huh. And we have to wake up to that and recognize it was wrong.
Because you voted for Henry Gibson?
No, I voted for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, me too. But here's the thing.
I sent money to Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I sent her my money. We had a dry run of this in 2004.
Yeah, yeah.
And we saw what happens when it's just not enough. When a bad person is elected to office and the clowns and assholes who elected him dance in the streets right up until the piper has to be paid. Then they vanish. And they go hiding in the corners and they hide in the cracks and they lie about who they did, who they believed and what they said and what they did. And I was never there. They deny, you know, they deny, like denying Christ three times. I never knew him. I never knew the man. I was never there. Until it comes time to, you know, bag to hate liberals. And then they come swarming out of the woodwork with their funny hats on. We've done this already.
Yes, we
and,
have.
And I think it is a decent and kind and honorable thing to forgive people when they are forgivable, when they stop sinning, when they stop doing the terrible thing they do. These people aren't stopping. These people aren't admitting any error. They're not admitting any mistake. Or they're saying everybody's to blame. Everyone's at fault. And so I have no forgiveness for people like that. I have no room in my heart for people who shit all over me, shit on my values, don't give a shit about my country, want to take my stepkids' health care away, and want to put polluters in charge of my streams and rivers and air. And then when it turns out that that's exactly what happened, either want to get cute about it or they want to pretend it didn't happen or pretend that somehow it'll all work out. No. If you're old enough to vote, you're old enough to take some goddamn responsibility for who you voted for. And if you don't do that, then you're a child or you're a sociopath. And I don't need to listen to anything you have to say because everything you have to say is irrelevant or cowardly or insane.
Well, and I think that childhood thing really dovetails really well into the whole healthcare debate, which is this healthcare debate right now does separate the adults from the children.
It does.
If you hate Obamacare because your insurance company left the state where you are, you have a high deductible plan that you're terrified to use, and your premium went up by 150% in 1 year, and you hate all of that, I'm with you. I want to fix that. That's wrong. Yep. It's stuff that sucks. It's a ripoff, and you don't deserve it. You deserve better from your government. You deserve better from health insurance companies, and you deserve better in life because you should have that is not the purpose of the bill. The purpose of the bill is to give you affordable insurance that you can use to stay healthy, and you're not getting that, and you deserve to be disappointed and angry, and you absolutely should rail against that, and I'm with you railing against it. Now, is your proposal for fixing that to throw 20 million people off of health insurance so that you can be happy?
Right.
And if that's your solution, you're a child.
Right. And do you think that throwing 20 million people off of their insurance is going to lower your deductible
$1? Is going to fix it.
No.
But I get that you're angry, but you're not a child. You're not this id that just sits in the middle of the room and screams, and everybody else has to accommodate you.
Because we have someone like that. That's the President of the United States.
President of the United States. It's white privilege that says, get rid of it because I hate it, because it's affecting me in a bad way. Grow up. This is a law. It's messy. It involves millions of people and millions of stakeholders. And yes, I'm with you, my liberal friends who say, well, if we just done single payer public option in 2010, we didn't.
We did.
Enough.
And you know what? It wouldn't have passed.
And it's not a question of wouldn't, shouldn't. I'm not going to should all over anybody.
Right.
It didn't pass.
Right. And you know what? It is the direction we should be going in.
Yeah. Well, I think inevitably it is the direction we're going to go in because private insurance companies are abandoning the belief, the core value that is now being adopted in the United States, that if you are here, you deserve health insurance.
Right.
That you can afford.
Right.
That is now an American value. Barack Obama brought that to us. Health insurance is a right. Health care is a human right. And stick with that value when you're discussing these things, which is, you know, and you can go tribal. You can use the white lady next door who's got a husband with Alzheimer's. That's fine.
Sure.
That's one of the things that I kind of liked about these town halls is that and this happened with gay marriage too. The people you see at the microphone are your neighbors, are Fox News viewers' neighbors.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
It's not some tattooed, pierced hippie saying, you know, I want my medical marijuana, man. You know, it's a 55-year-old woman with a husband with Alzheimer's who has type 1 diabetes. Who does she deserve health care? Has she worked hard enough? Is she, you know, is she
worthy?
Earned it?
Is she worthy?
Yeah. Is she worthy or not? And this tribal thing of people like themselves, right? So you're going to identify with those, I hate, you know, white people, white articulate, not stoned, not drunk, not moochers. You know, these are your friends and neighbors, and they want affordable insurance.
Right.
They paid their bills their whole life.
They would like to not go broke the next time they have to go to the hospital.
They have cancer. Right.
That's all they want.
That's all they want.
And they'd like to be able to do it.
You deserve it too. Right. And you deserve it too. And I get that these bronze plans and their high deductibles, that was a Republican experiment that didn't work.
Right.
And frankly, that's what the Republican Party has proposed and wants all of us to be on. Health savings accounts where everybody puts $5,000 in the bank, because we all have that lying around,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yep.
And the rest of the time, and anytime you need the doctor for a cold or a broken finger, you pay it out of that. But if it goes above $5,000, then we'll cover you. No, that's not acceptable.
No, that's not how
That's not how insurance is supposed to work. That's not how any of this works. Okay, so there's that. And gay marriage was the same way, which is, you know, gay marriage started to be legal in Hawaii and D.C. and some other places. And Fox News starts showing these gay weddings.
Oh, no.
And it's not people in leather in parades with feathers all over them.
No.
I love people in leather with feathers all over them.
But it's boring middle class people.
Boring middle class white ladies
who've been together
for 35 years.
Just want to get married.
And they smooch. And then they hug and everybody cheers.
That's all it
and
is.
They're not threatening anybody.
Right.
They're not threatening your penis. They're not threatening your marriage. They're not threatening your children. They're not threatening anybody. They're not threatening the baker down the street. They're just there because they love each other and they've been together forever.
Well, and can I just mention,
it backfired on Fox. It really did. That all of a sudden, the picture of gay marriage was not, you know, oh my God.
Oh my God, those parades,
those
people.
It's porn on my television. Yeah, it's something I can't deal with. So,
well, that novel,
everybody knows
that fictional novel about Chicago, Windy City.
Yeah.
Where all they used to want was parades.
Right.
Now they want good schools for their kids.
Right.
Now
and
I can't
parks.
Just throw them a parade. And now they want the stuff everybody else wants. That's when it gets complicated.
Yeah.
Have to pay for shit.
Yep.
I'd just like to say one little bit about something we talked a lot about this week, you and I. But I just want to say one little bit about paying attention to numbers.
Mm-hmm.
If you've noticed, the media distrust numbers are all over the media these days. How much or little people distrust. And it reminded me a lot of the ACA numbers. When 62% of the country didn't like ACA, or you can pick a date in the past and there was a certain number of people and it was high.
That felt negatively toward Obamacare or the health care bill.
Right. And what you notice after a while is that the people who were selling the story, it was always paired with angry conservatives who thought it was communism and death panels.
Right.
And yet, if you dug into the numbers half an inch, you found a whole bunch of these people are pissed because it didn't go far enough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easier and lazier and more supportive of a false narrative to pretend that everybody who hates it for the same reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And get off the hook from reporting on the real story. So when you start seeing media distrust numbers, how little media is trusted. First of all, I was reading a Nick Kristof column from 2005 today. And he was talking about, the media's hate. Everyone hates the media. We need to work harder to get those people back.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not a brand new thing. The media has been distrusted for forever. When you're hearing those numbers, remember that a whole bunch of those numbers are your conservative friends and neighbors who are furious that whatever the hell is crossing Steve Bannon's mind today isn't the front page of the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
All the
mm-hmm.
bullshit they're getting through Facebook and on email and in Breitbart and on Fox News that are lies, big, giant fucking lies, aren't in the New York Times. That's proof to them. It's not in the Washington Post, not in the New York Times. That is proof to them of the big conspiracy, the big liberal media conspiracy. So they don't trust the media for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't trust the media for an entirely different reason. We don't trust it because they won't report on these assholes who are brainwashed.
Yep.
They won't talk about the fact that we distrust you because you keep putting Hugh Hewitt and Charlie Sykes on your TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
You keep putting right-wing hacks on television and treating them with respect. You keep both-sidering every issue when you goddamn well know it's not both sides. We don't trust you, not because of shit we're making up, but because of shit we can look at and point to and say, why do you keep lying about A, B, C, and D? And I'm not talking about crowd size and Donald Trump's interpretation of numbers or anything like that. But I can show you what's wrong. I can show you what you're doing wrong. I can show you how you're letting us down. And I can show you that you've been doing it for a decade and you still won't fucking stop. That's why I don't trust you.
And let me add to that, that today in a new website called Axios, which is the Jim Vanderhey and Mike Allen project, you know, now that they've split off from Politico. Okay, this came to my attention because Crooks and Liars is mentioned in this article. And so it was brought to my attention about the recent explosion of right-wing news sites and talking about how digital outlet foundings by ideology that back in the 90s, there was the Bush burst.
Right.
Left-leaning news sites that were launched during the Bush administration captured audiences opposed to the administration's policies, primarily the Iraq War. John Amato, founder and publisher of the liberal progressive news blog, Crooks and Liars.
Yay.
No link, by the way. You failed us, Vanderhey. No link. Crooks and Liars tells Axios he started the site. Now, there's going to be a parallel construction here. I want you to watch carefully for what the difference is in the two sides here. Okay, this is the left. Crooks and Liars, he started the site in September of 2004 because he thought that mainstream media wasn't critical enough of the Bush administration, and he felt motivated to speak out.
Right.
All right, that's the left.
Mm-hmm.
Then came the Obama opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Cuglianis, editor-in-chief of the Daily Caller, which launched in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
The founders Tucker Carlson and Neil Patel started the site because, and here you have parallel construction, started the site because they saw a tremendous market opportunity where conservative news site could report on news with a different form of selection bias.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, yep.
Now.
Yep.
I read that and I thought, is anybody else going to catch the difference here? Spot the difference.
No.
One is, I feel motivated to speak out against the Iraq War. And that's why we're starting these blogs. Tucker Carlson saw a market opportunity to bring to the web a form of selection bias.
Well,
but the media is terrible, Driftglass.
It's just, all these websites are terrible.
So extremist,
and we,
you know,
and
Crooks
we,
and Liars on the left, Daily Caller on the right.
It's all the same.
It's all the same.
And this is why for so long, Jon Stewart had one basic joke, which was point the camera at conservatives and watch what they say, and then roll your eyes and then run the film of them saying exactly the opposite 20 minutes before or 2 days before or a year before or just run the math. Go over to the study. They say this is how they're lying to you. And it was so fucking consistent. It was so absolutely consistent. If they opened their mouth and made a claim and bracketed it with freedom and liberty and personal responsibility, you knew they were lying. And it was easy to find. You didn't require any journalistic training at all beyond a mouse and access to the internet. Oh, that's how they're lying this time. Oh, that's what he said a month ago, which is exactly the opposite of what he said today. Why is he lying today? What specific reason is he lying about today? And as we saw with Marco Rubio on his famous appearance on The Daily Show.
Right.
When you're caught, both sides.
Both sides of the aisle.
Spat that out 11 times in a row. It got to be a joke after a while. So this is a really easy, simple, basic kind of research that says person A claims X. X is not true. Why are they claiming it? Person A says A, and yesterday they said the opposite of A. Why is that so? And then you start lining up the fact that conservatives have been doing this for decades.
Right.
Just fucking lying. And so the question stops being, golly, Jimmy, why do conservatives lie so much? And starts being, golly, Jimmy, why won't the actual legitimate news media talk about this gargantuan story of one of our two major political parties lying to its voters all the time about everything in ways that are incredibly destructive, and then the voters don't care, or they don't.
Well, and furthermore, cable news networks that are not Fox News actually hire the lying side.
Yes, they do.
So that both sides can be presented when one side is clearly lying. And so now we have truth tellers versus liars rather than a two-party debate.
Over policy.
We have to actually, because then you just have voters throwing up their hands and saying, well, nothing's true anymore.
Right.
I don't have to listen to any of them and throw up their hands.
Which leads us at last to Gorka.
And then I have a quote of the day for you.
Okay.
But you go ahead and we laughed so hard when this story came out. But
Gorka smash.
It's really kind of sad.
It is. It's in Newsweek.
It's sad for the same reason that the town halls are sad, in that he goes back to the White House and there's no consequence for using an unsecure phone to bully a person, a critic of his, who, you know, sent mean tweets.
Yeah, who said true things about me on the internet.
True things about me on the internet, yes. And so Sebastian Gorka, who is in the Trump White House.
Yes, he is as they call him.
And he's a Breitbart hire.
He's the jihad whisperer.
Yeah.
And he knows, and he is a joke.
He knows that only Muslims can be terrorists.
Right. And he knows how they think, because he has a degree from a Hungarian university in 2000-something and went to some Pentagon school that is not yet accredited. and stuff.
And that was the point, is look, dude, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, number one.
Yes.
Number two, he's not nearly as educated as he's claiming to be. And number three, he's wrong about it.
And number four, all the actual experts in the field across the board think he's nuts. He's just out of his tree. He has no idea what he's talking about. He's making shit up.
And to prove that he is competent, he uses an unsecured phone.
Right.
Outside the White House logging principle, where you would actually have to take accountability for your phone call,
and calls up this guy
and starts berating him about, you're using Twitter against me.
Why are you picking on me? What did I ever do to you?
Yeah.
You're incompetent and you're endangering the country. Shut up.
And I'm recording this. I just want you to know I'm recording this.
And there were threats of lawsuits.
Oh, and getting the White House counsel to investigate you, which is just a total abuse of power.
It's rich and delicious.
And it is. And then, of course, the audio is now at Newsweek.
At Newsweek. And nothing will happen to him.
Nothing will happen to him. He's Breitbart, because he is... The government now belongs to Breitbart, and it belongs to Breitbart because people thought they could throw their vote away.
Right.
And that's what happened. Hey, Drift Glass, I have a quote of the day for you.
Love it.
To end our show.
Okay.
To politicians who have abandoned their civic obligations, I say this: have some courage, face your constituents, hold town halls.
I want to say Lincoln's so bad. George Bush, I don't know. Paul Ryan. Oh, please let it be Paul Ryan.
Gabby Giffords.
Yeah,
Gabby
man.
Giffords released a statement in response to Louie Gohmert. To politicians who have abandoned their civic obligations, I say this: have some courage, face your constituents, hold town halls, says the woman who was shot in the head at a public event by some nut. And, you know, there's a word that rhymes with halls that Gabby Giffords has more of than Louie Gohmert and Paul Ryan
and Rodney Davis
combined. Each week, we post to our Facebook page and website an Internet Kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's Internet Kitty is Tigger. Tigger does not have time to look at the camera. He is busy. Thank you very much. We love you, Tigger. You can send your Internet Kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go
Postal Unions!
Letter on the air, unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. And don't forget our Amazon link at our website. We believe in buying local, and we also believe in shopping Amazon with our link if your alternative is a big box store. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a financial contribution. You can too. See our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there at professionalleft.blogspot.com. As of this weekend, our house will have 3 teenagers living in it.
Yes.
Youngest child turns 13 on Sunday. So we are full of teens, and all of them appreciate particularly the $5 a month donations. Those specifically are earmarked to go to our electric bill, mm-hmm. which charges their phone.
Yes.
And they really appreciate it. They have mentioned that to me. You know, yeah, I know I'm charging my phone with podcast money, Mom. I know that. Okay.
That's right.
Please share our show on Facebook or Twitter, and thank you for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties say, Gorka out.
Gorka out.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the humping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying and the flower and the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2017, Driftglass Blue Gal Podcast.